Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. T-Mobile admits that hackers stole their customers' data in a major security breach. IBM is patenting a coffee-delivering drone that can read your mind. Google Go, the tech giant's search app optimized for emerging markets, can now read websites out loud. And happy birthday, Linux. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yaman.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? Just because Jeff is confused doesn't mean you have to be. Visit cat5.tv/dreamhost to sign up for unlimited web hosting for your website with unlimited email accounts, MySQL databases, the latest version of PHP, WordPress, and more, and even a free domain name registration. It's less than $6 per month, so sign up today. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. In a statement Friday, T-Mobile admitted that hackers have breached its systems and stolen customer data, including names, addresses, account numbers, and billing zip codes. The company said that it discovered the security breach on August 20th and immediately shut it down. A company representative said that around 3% of T-Mobile customers may have been affected, meaning around 2 million accounts. T-Mobile CEO John Ledger said on Twitter that it's always a good idea to regularly change account passwords, and T-Mobile admitted that some encrypted passwords may have indeed been in the data stolen. According to the company's timeline, the breach was only discovered on August 20th, and affected customers first began to be notified by text message on Friday. However, the text looks suspiciously like a phishing attempt, complete with a link to a shortened URL to learn more. The message reads, "Hello, we ID'd and shut down an unauthorized capture of your info. No financial info / SSN taken, but some personal info may have been. More at t.mo.co/security. So that sounds like a, it sounds dodgy, right?
You know, it sounds like another day in tech news. Data breach, stolen passwords.
But what kind of
company,
would release an email like or a message like that to their customers? Like, we in security and data security teach our customers
never
don't fall for that type of message.
Right.
No bank is ever going to email you and say, click here to sign in.
Right.
It's not going to happen. They're going to, you know how to log into your online banking, so log into your online banking. They're not going to give you a link.
Right. So this is actually really dangerous, because then this is a legit way and it seems so non-legit.
It's actually them.
It's actually
them. They actually sent it. It was legitimately T-Mobile.
Right. So now they're giving like a false sense of security and safety to people who follow it, and there isn't an issue.
So
right?
Here's the thing. All of your data has just been stolen.
Right. Click
and
here.
Now we are teaching our customers that when a phishing scam looking message comes through, that you can trust it.
Yep.
It's really us. So now that this data has been stolen, what's it going to be used for? Phishing scams?
Yeah.
Click here to find out more.
This is bananas. So what would you recommend that T-Mobile do?
They fire their security staff and hire
anyone. That's a really great idea.
That would be a start.
I mean, I feel like, wouldn't it be okay just to put it on the news? Like, how else would you tell?
Because
you can't do it via email.
The easiest way would just send a subsequent email saying, "We sent out an email that said do this. Please don't do that." the damage is done.
We can't teach our customers to do something stupid.
But they have done that. So they need to send an email to educate and say, don't do what we told you to do.
We just need to backtrack and say, this is the new message. We've been hacked. Your data has been stolen.
Right.
Contact us for more information. You can find out more by looking at your bill.
Yep.
Right. That's it.
Don't click a link at t-mo.co
co.uk/security. Whatever.
Slash security.
Oh, my goodness.
Whose idea was that?
It was a Friday, for one thing.
That's
true. Pretty sure.
You know what? It's almost the weekend. Let's just put a link on.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Boy. IBM has filed a patent for a mood-sensing coffee delivery drone. It features facial recognition, psychological profiling, and scalding liquid flying through the air. IBM's plans for aerial hot beverage deliveries not only include deliveries of pre-ordered brews, but also taxi-style flagging down of aerial drinks. The U.S. Patent Office filing revealed that IBM thinks such a delivery system is part of our future. In the patent application, they talk about a coffee-laden drone flying into an area, including a plurality of people, scanning the people using one or more sensors connected to the drone, the one or more sensors connected to an electronic processing circuit, which identifies an individual among the people that may have a predetermined cognitive state. Put another way, if you're feeling glum, IBM wants a circling coffee drone to sense this and then fly hot drinks at you. The details of the filing have suggested IBM's drone sensors could be collecting and analyzing data on everything from the time of day to facial expressions, your gestures, and even the dilation of your pupils. It hopes to merge this with your work calendar as well as the time an individual woke up in the morning.
All right.
At first, I was like, sweet.
Bring on the flying coffee.
I love coffee.
Yeah.
And then
I'd see it coming and I'd be like,
I'm sad face. Give me a coffee. Okay. And maybe they would give you like a coffee on a special day, like your birthday, just for free. Like, happy birthday. Here's a special coffee. Like, it would be so good if it wasn't obviously some sort of weird privacy ploy, right? Like, it's like,
but here's the thing though,
like the police or something.
The idea of personal privacy in a public setting of video feeds is out the window,
right?
Like, there used to be a time and day when news companies couldn't air a clip unless they had the approval of everybody who was on film. Now it's like, you don't want to go on air, you need to tell me, because we're automatically going to put you on there.
Right.
And so this whole thing is just biometric collection for data and marketing purposes. It's going to happen.
They also know what time you woke up and how dilated your pupils are. And whether you're or not, you're just about to lose it. Like, don't give that guy coffee. He's going to throw it at somebody else.
You can't tell that by the eyes.
Apparently, they're using social tactics as well to make people want this service. So I don't know what the future holds for it, but to think that a drone will fly down and give the popular kids a coffee so that everybody else is like, hey, I want some of that. You know, like when you're walking through and everybody's walking around with cotton candy. You know the kids are asking for it.
The way to get my full attention is to start a story with something's going to deliver you a coffee. But
by drone.
But the dark side of that is now there's drones that are flying up and down the street that maybe no longer have coffee. Maybe they just write tickets. Maybe they just police you.
And because they know you, because these things use AI to know who you are, they just be like, oh, there's Robbie, give him a coffee. Oh, there's Robbie, give him a coffee. Oh, there's Robbie, give him a coffee.
Right.
They know me. They know my trends.
The one thing about this story, guaranteed you're not going to see this one coming. I wonder if this was inspired by a friend of mine. Do you know John Steingard from Hawk Nelson?
Mm-hmm.
So he's a big drone enthusiast. And
oh, yeah, I remember this.
About 3 years ago,
he
was playing with his drone, and he decided to do
posted on YouTube
a pickup of a coffee from Starbucks using his drone. He was sitting there on the beach, and the drone took off, flew up the road to the Starbucks, came down. They handed the coffee to the machine.
Yeah.
It took it back up into the air and brought it back to him.
He used their app ordering system.
Yes.
Right.
And so it was a phenomenal video that went nuts. I was talking to somebody the other day who had seen it. I'm like, I know the guy. They're like, shut up. So how much you want to bet this inspired that? And they
that's
go, oh, we could totally do that. Yeah. If that's the case, I hope he gets royalties.
He should.
I hope he gets royalties. I hope that this is not as bad as I feel like it
is. It's going to go horrible. You just won't know because you won't see the database of information.
Or they're
going
to start putting like some random drug in your coffee to make you more complacent and compliant. You're going to get these coffees, but really it's just going to be like...
dark.
Yeah, it did. Now we're talking about like...
Black mirror.
Chemical manipulation.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that what caffeine is?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
excuse me one second.
There. Yeah, see, it happened. Now I want one too. Okay, yep. Thanks.
Yep.
See,
mine's empty.
Peer pressure.
I've chemicalized enough as I can.
Mm. I feel much better now.
There we go.
See?
Now we can resume.
We've been keeping an eye on some of the accessibility enhancements coming to smart devices lately, and this week, Google Go, the tech giant's search app optimized for emerging markets, can read websites out loud. The company has updated its browser with the ability to read web pages in 28 different languages using a natural-sounding voice that works even on a 2G connection. The tech giant has announced the new feature at its annual event in India, which is one of the markets Android Go was created for. According to Google, the app's new ability, it takes the old text-to-speech idea and gives it a brain. They're using AI to determine the most important parts of a web page, and it will only read those sections and leave out everything else. For instance, if it's reading a cooking blog, users don't have to listen to it drone on and on about a writer's life story before reaching the recipe itself. Since Android Go was designed for affordable phones with the most basic of specs, some devices built for the platform could also have relatively tiny screens. This ability can make it easier for users to consume written content in the same way one would listen to an audio while doing something else, like exercising or cooking or while on the go. However, it will probably be the most useful for those with vision problems, difficulty reading, or even those learning a new language. As an added bonus, the browser displays what it's reading and highlights each word as it goes, making it viable as a learning tool.
That is cool.
That Very is cool. cool. So you could learn really 28 different languages.
Hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I guess. And Google Translation Service is fantastic, so you could use that in tandem with this.
Sure.
Right.
That would be cool.
See, I just have to find the time for that.
Right.
I don't have time for that.
The AI that decides what's important worries me, because what if...
Oh, everything is dark with you tonight.
No, because the writer's life story, it's not dark. It's just, I just want to know how it's deciding what the important thing is, right? So are you able to...
Let's just do a recipe for lentils.
Okay.
I'm going to click on the first thing that comes up.
Okay.
All right. So it's a list of lentils. Here's the lentil recipe. So it starts with, we love lentils here at Kitchen. They are magically easy to cook on the stove and versatile enough to go into a wide range of cuisines. Plus, they are quick. What more? Really? So think about that. I just asked for a recipe for lentils.
You never read that?
Why would I read that? But when I'm looking for a recipe.
Okay, that's true.
If I wanted the backstory, fine. I've scrolled down.
That's true. Okay.
Two-thirds of the... No way. Okay, I've now scrolled down what I would say is equivalent to about 3 or 4 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper.
Yep.
And the recipe still hasn't started. It's starting to explain...
Lentil bowls.
One bowl meals are one of my favorite things to keep in constant... Right? Okay.
Okay.
So imagine... this is the first thing I Googled. Like, just lentil recipe.
Right.
So if I... Just using that example because it was in the story, just give me the recipe.
Right.
Okay.
Right?
It's going to read it to me like Alexa would. Or like Google's...
Right.
Okay. Google would.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, you have.
Neat.
That is really neat. You have a very good point. And the truth of the matter is, there are people who are visually impaired that mm-hmm. will now be able to explore web pages
Surely.
On an expensive device, right?
Yeah. And so. I've used text-to-speech a fair bit in my time.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. on a website, it can be annoying because you got to think if it's going to read everything on the screen, home, about us,
not to mention all the embedded information in an image.
Does it read also pop-ups?
Alt tags.
Oh.
It might. It might read advertising.
Yeah. Like an annoying voice that just interrupts.
Click here.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
I think
that's smart.
This is great.
Do away with ads and stuff as it's reading to me. And if it is pretty good, if it's intelligent enough, then it would be like an Alexa-type service that would take me to a website. And then it's just integrating that service back into OK Google and Alexa and everything else.
It's awesome that accessibility features like this are not only existing, but they're getting better as we go.
Yeah, Oh yeah, so. And they sound better. Like you said, it's very natural sounding. Mm-hmm. We've looked at voice, like text to speech here on the show. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you wouldn't even know the difference.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Incredible. So stick an AI on that.
I'll be replaceable soon.
Never.
Happy 27th birthday, Linux. Yes, it is once again the time of year when we celebrate the hero of modern computing, the Linux kernel. Some FOSS fans consider the first public release of prototype code, which dropped on October 5th, 1991, as a more worthy of being the kernel's true anniversary date. Others take this past Saturday, August 25th, as the birth date of the project, and for good reason. The 25th of August is the day back in 1991, a young Finnish college student named Linus Torvalds sat at his desk to let folks on comp.os.minix newsgroup know about the hobby OS he was working on. The hobby OS that wouldn't, he cautioned, be anything big or professional. Here's what Linus said in that original post. Hello, everybody out there using Minix. I am doing a free operating system, just a hobby, won't be big or professional like GNU, for 386, 486 AT clones. This has been brewing since April and it's starting to get ready. I'd like any feedback on things people like or dislike in Minix as my OS resembles it somewhat. Same physical layout of the file system due to practical reasons, among other things. And look at Linux now. Which birthday you celebrate is up to you. For what it's worth, Linus says that he's cool with people celebrating either date or even both.
Way to go, Linux!
Yay! As a person born on April 21st, I also celebrate two birthdays because the Queen does, and she was also born on April 21st. So Linux is like me.
There you go.
There we go.
Cool.
All set.
Wikipedia has some excellent information about kind of like how Linux started and what how it evolved.
Yeah.
I'd encourage you to check that out if you're, you know, interested in it. Linux is everywhere.
Yeah. I mean,
we looked at Raspberry Pi here on Category 5 Technology TV. Our computers are powered by Linux. You may have Windows, but maybe there are some components of Linux that are involved
right.
in that. Your phone, if you use an Android phone, it's Linux.
Yeah.
What else has Linux on it? Your fridge, if you've got
Android
a smart
boxes,
fridge.
Android
I think TV boxes.
Aren't PlayStations Linux?
PlayStations.
Yeah, I do
are
believe they
Linux.
Are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some ATMs are Linux.
If you've ever heard of Steam, Steam OS is Linux.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Linux is bigger than you'd think.
Basically,
like,
the world runs on
nothing
Linux.
Nothing
really
big
does.
Or professional.
Microsoft doesn't want you to know this.
Yeah.
They really don't. But yeah. The internet. You use the internet every day. Guess what makes the internet go?
Linux.
Yep.
So. Happy birthday.
No wrinkles even.
Yeah.
Looking youthful at 27.
You know me. I like community-mindedness. I really like open source everything. I like the idea. And I love Linux.
That's what makes Linux so great is that being that it's community-driven,
mm-hmm.
it's like if I have an idea for Linux or if I find a bug in Linux, I can submit the fix for that.
Right.
And then the creators of Linux can look at that and say, oh, yeah, oh, look at that. You found that. And we merge that pull request into the actual kernel. And that's why there are thousands of contributors to Linux. And then, taking it one step further, so Linux being the kernel.
Right.
Now you've got X or whatever environment you're using. And then you've got your desktop environment, like GNOME or mm-hmm. KDE. Or whatever. So when you look at your computer, so you look at Ubuntu, for example, it might be GNOME 3 or it might be Unity if it's an older one. And older Linux was GNOME 2. And
right.
So the interface that you see is a whole other project on top of Linux.
Right. And yeah. So many people just kind of help to lift that into the air and make it be, right? Like it's, I love
huge.
It. It's like a flash awesome. Mob.
Like a flash mob.
Flash mob. Wow.
Like joyous community cooperation. Anyway, there we go. Big thanks to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.
Thanks, Sasha. I'm Robbie Ferguson. This is Jeff.
Yep.
And Sasha. And it's been great having you here with us this week. Don't forget, head on over to our website, category5.tv. We've got lots of great programming there. Check it out. If you want to become a part of this community, join the chat room. Mm-hmm. Send us an email. Join the community forum. There's so many different ways to interact. Right. If you watch us on YouTube, you can comment below the video. Make sure you give us that thumbs up, the subscribe, and click
and
that bell.
Bell.
Yeah. That's right. The bell.
We learned that tonight. And we look forward to seeing you again next week.
Have a good one.